This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 19 and Franchise Hockey Manager 5, the best sports strategy games available. You can get them today on Steam. You can get them right from OOTPDevelopments.com. If you can get them on Origin, you can get Out of the Park Baseball 18 on Discord. And if you are an Origin Access subscriber, that's just part of the package. Out of the Park Baseball 19 is our best-selling and really our best version ever of Out of the Park Baseball, and that's saying something considering all the awards that it's won. If you love strategy, if you love sports, if you love baseball, or if you just love really putting the pieces of a puzzle together any way possible, in any way that you want to define it, Out of the Park Baseball 19 is for you. And Franchise Hockey Manager 5 is really something special this year. We've had a tremendous amount of people playing the game and having a blast with it. Franchise Hockey Manager 5 available today on Steam from OTPDevelopments.com. And Out of the Park Baseball 19 available on Steam from OTPDevelopments.com, as well as EA's Origin and Origin Access. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the show. As I have said many times, one of my favorite things about the Press Row Podcast is that it's just a complete excuse to talk to people that I like. And so tonight is no exception to that. I'm very excited. You have seen and heard him on Giant Bomb. You have seen or had at least heard him on DLC. You have seen and heard him on What's Good Games. And I hope you have heard him and seeing him in Spawn on Me, our good friend Khalif Adams. Sir, how are you tonight?
Brother Rich, it's so good to see and hear you, man. I'm so excited to be back on the show, man. It's been way too long.
So you need to answer a tough question right off the bat.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm ready.
So is there truth to the fact that you would officially not appear on this show if Cicero Holmes was on the show at the same time? Is that true or not, sir?
Oh, absolutely true. I don't want to be seen in the same state as that man, Cicero Holmes, the Baron of Bracago.
I was going to say, you had to create an entirely new plane of existence in Bracago just to be in the same place with him.
Oh yeah, there's no way we can't be in the same place at the same time. It just doesn't work. It breaks holes in the space time continuum. It's just not good for the world.
All kidding aside, we would love to have had you both on. Cicero's on last week, and obviously Khalif is here this week. But as I said before we started recording, this is actually better because now it's just two straight weeks of Spawn on Me appearances on the Press Row Podcast. So that's good. It works out well.
Yes, I'm totally okay with that. It totally works.
So a lot of people know who you are. A few people might not. So before we get into it, you're well known around the internet. Spawn on Me is your creation. Mm-hmm. Tell the world all about this awesome video game journey that you've been on for the last few years, especially.
Oh man, this past year has been madness, but it's been the best kind of madness that you can ask for. If folks are not familiar with the Spawn on Me show, I'm sure they have heard it from Cicero, but I'll repeat it. We do a podcast that revolves around video games and kinds of centers on people of color in the industry, marginalized folks, kind of shares the stories of the people who are in the industry making the games that you love and get to play in your homes and on your Switches and all the places around the world. This year has been specifically just nuts because I've been able to be lucky enough to go do a bunch of things in a bunch of different places and some of the places you shared in the beginning with the intro. And it's just been fantastic. It's been a wonderful year for the show. We've had our best year ever. I think we almost, if I'm not mistaken, if I do the numbers right, we had our most downloads this year. In our almost sixth year, we'll be doing our sixth year anniversary in a couple of weeks. It's just been fantastic. We did our 250th show this year, in 2018. It's a good time for Spawn on Spawn on Me. And for me in particular, it's been wonderful to be able to kind of spread my wings and do some other stuff in the industry as well.
You know, my favorite thing in sort of, you know, because we've been chatting and podcasting and doing stuff together for about 5 years, maybe even six. Like, it's been a while. Yeah. My favorite thing is that during from when I first met you, I met you through Spawn on Me and through a connection of the Press Row podcast, right? Like that's how we sort of got talking.
Yep.
And then just over the last 5 years, just every once in a while, I'd randomly see or hear you pop up on shows that I listen to. And like, I'm like, whoa, hey, how great is that, right? And then it's just more and more and more, and it's fantastic. You know, and I, you know, you tweeted out probably a couple weeks ago. Now you're sort of, you're visiting studios. You're doing all sorts of cool stuff. And I think it's, you know, and I mentioned this to Cicero last week. The reason I love it is basically you guys said, all right, I want in. I want in this world of video games. The way that I'm going to get in is to start my own thing and then just talking to people and asking people and networking with people. And you've done it through just that direct, if no one else is going to do it, I'm going to do it approach, which is like my favorite thing in the whole world, man. I just love that. It's been so much fun to watch and hear and listen to all the cool stuff that you've been doing. It's been a blast. So congratulations, man. It's an amazing story. And I'm just so happy for all you guys. And I still get the feeling like this is still just the start. You're not satisfied. You're not ready. It feels to me like you're just really even starting to really make a big dent. That's what I get anyway.
We're trying. And thank you so much for that. That's extremely humbling coming from you, because I love your work and have for a very long time. It's interesting because, you know, the space that we're in now, it does feel like the kind of gold rush, right? Where people have kind of thought that the spaces are kind of closed off, and they are in some places. There are still gatekeepers here and there, and there's still kind of old ways of thinking in terms of, you know, who should be in a space and what the space should look like. But I feel like, you know, we were at the forefront of the conversation around diversity with ourselves and another podcast out there, Not Your Mama's Gamer, who everyone should take a listen to at some point. But it feels like what we have tried to do, especially, and I as the captain kind of trying to figure out the best ways to kind of share this mantra to the rest of the team and out to the world, is that what I love about what we can do is we bring smart, nuanced conversation back to the internet in some form or fashion in gaming conversations. And when I think back at, you know, what we've been able to accomplish in the 5 years that we've been doing this, our pedigree has been pretty strong. Like, we've been able to pull some folks that nobody else has been able to get, or at least in the podcasting space, you don't see a lot of guest appearances on shows anymore that have high profile names or folks who you would automatically kind of know. And I'm happy to say that looking back at the roster that we've pulled together over the past couple of years, like, we've been able to do that as three African-American men who just, you know, through sheer force of will tried to figure out how we could, you know, be players in this space. And we're still figuring it out. And that, I don't want to toot our horns too much, but I am super proud of what we've been able to accomplish. And it does feel like we still have a ways to go. And there's still some doors that we can knock down. And there's some ideas of things that we've been able to do for 2019 and going forward.
And as soon as you figure it out, it changes. Like, immediately. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It is, and both good and bad, right? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it's completely changed. Like, from where I've been sitting now, going on my fourth year with Out of the Park, right? Like, the way that we have to figure out how to make people aware of our game is 90% different in 2019 than it was in 2016. And that's not an exaggeration. It's 90% different, right?
Oh, yeah.
And in the media world, right? I was writing for websites for years, and then I was podcasting, and we're still podcasting, but sometimes we're doing videos and sometimes we're live streaming, and just everything is constantly changing. How do you figure out what works best for you to reach the people you want to reach?
We look at all the young people and steal all their stuff.
There you go. That's why when I first started with Out of the Park, I said, number one thing we got to do is live stream all the time.
Yeah.
We got to get live streaming. And that was questioned. And but I'm like, that's what the kids are doing. That's how you get people learning about your game. And that's how you get people learning about you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that I feel is the most important thing that anyone who is trying to still get into this industry or wants to make content or has a thing to pitch or to show out in the world is there's a couple of things that has pushed us in really good directions. And one is not saying no. making sure that you, when you have opportunities or you have the ability to get into a room with people who have influence, to say yes, make sure that you're in that room and a part of that conversation, even if it's just visibility. It's something that makes a huge, huge, huge impression on people when they see you in that space where people who, especially, you know, we have a leg up in that way where there aren't a lot of folks who look like us in the space. So we're absolutely recognizable when we get into a room. But on the second side of that is you have to be nimble. You have to always be paying attention to what's going on. You always have to not be afraid to try the new thing. And if it fails, it's not necessarily a failure on your part. It's not a failure of your show or your mission statement or what you're trying to do. It's just that sometimes that particular thing doesn't work with what your platform is or what, you know, you haven't figured out exactly what that specific thing that makes it click is on that new, you know, platform or that new idea or any of that stuff. But it means you should need to kind of tweak it, rethink it, and see how you can incorporate it into things you already do. And that's been something that's worked very, very well for us. And it's been something that it continues to work. And I hope that we don't lose that in terms of ability to kind of be nimble, because being nimble means a lot.
Communicating is so ridiculous now, too. Like, I'm talking to people on Twitter. I'm talking to them on Discord. I'm talking to them through email. I'm talking to them through Slack. Like, I've just continued to be so impressed with how smart so many people are and how many different ways they use to communicate. But like, you know, again, like entire, look at what Discord has done. Entire communities have completely sprung up in Discord, in the gaming space especially, that a year ago, I barely know what Discord was. Now we have like 2,000 people in the Out of the Park Discord channel.
Oh, that's what? Fantastic.
I'm like,
that's
how is that? What? And now I'm in there and I understand. I'm having fun. It's a great platform, but it's just like to go from zero to 2,000 and we've only started ours like 4 months ago. I mean, my goodness, man. The speed of, and again, it's not just like media changing or the way that games are purchased are changing or the way it's everything. It's the way that people talk about the games, it's the way that people learn about the games, it's the way people play the games, it's the way people play games together, it's how they play them on their own. I mean, my goodness.
It's a lot. It's overwhelming sometimes, especially if you're just trying to kind of, you know, get in where you fit in and trying to, you know, figure out where your niche is.
Right. Right.
It's so difficult sometimes to try to determine where you're going to kind of disseminate information and share it. And a lot of times you have to share it in every place that you are.
Exactly. But
what you have to do is you have to understand that each of those platforms has very specific needs, and your audiences will, you know, come to your information in different ways each one of those platforms. There was a really great article from Gary Vaynerchuk. I always say his last name wrong. I apologize to Gary out in the world. But he had a quick blurb about, you know, how he micromanages his content. Now, mind you, he has an actual like full team of people. So, you know, take this for whatever grain of salt that you need to. But, you know, he'll take one podcast and split that thing up into 30 different pieces of stuff. And each one of those pieces of stuff goes out to whatever platforms they are, where all his fans are. And each one of them feels very, very tailored to that specific thing. And I feel like that's what it's come down to now. It's like you have to understand that you're making content on a consistent basis all of the time, and you have to get it in the places that will get eyes on it all the time. And, you know, if you can figure out the magic sauce to do that, then you're ahead of the game. And if you're not, then you might find yourself getting left behind.
Yep, indeed. I could do another 45 minutes with you just on this, because I've got a million thoughts. But we're here actually to talk about sports video games.
Yeah.
Khalif Adams, what do you think about sports video games these days, 2018? Like, what's the landscape look like to you? I mean, I have gotten so many differing opinions on this question, from wildly positive, like me, to wildly not positive, like Cat Bailey and Brian Wheaton. And, you know, everything in between. So where are you with sports video games in our current era?
Oh, my God. Shout out to Kat and to Brian, because they are two amazing folks in the space. So mad love to them. I feel like it's in an interesting spot where it feels like the Titans have fallen down a little bit on the mountaintop. You know, you had your 2Ks that had, for the past 2 years, have had some issues with the NBA 2K side of things. NBA Live is still trying to find its legs in a lot of ways, and it's doing smart things. It just hasn't figured out how to overtake 2K in that space. You have the kind of side, you have Madden. Madden always feels like it's kind of steady and has been doing everything that it should be doing, but it doesn't feel like it's growing either. Like, they tried to dip into the mobile space now, and that didn't feel like it necessarily did anything. But I don't know their, you know, the sales numbers. I don't know how much, you know, they did in terms of, you know, click-throughs or, you know, mobile content there. But it feels like they're kind of grasping for stuff too. So for me, it's been really interesting because I'm kind of digging into what I call kind of special sports now, or like off the beaten path kind of sports. So stuff like UFC, stuff like Laser League, stuff like, gosh, like Disc Jam didn't come out this.
I hear Brian Goodeye smiling right now. Brian is smiling when you said Laser League. He loves that game.
Laser League is a fantastic game, but that's the thing though, right? Is like, I think if you were to ask most people, you know, what do you think about Laser League? They might not even call that a sport, you know? Like, it's one of those in-between things that you kind of think it's a sport. It has sports-like things in it, but it's not something that you usually see. So I feel like there are so many different things that are in the spaces that we're kind of used to, that are kind of just moving along. They're not really doing anything innovative. They're not really kind of falling too far back. And I think that's the actual problem right now, is it feels like things are in a kind of stagnated state. Like, there is a lot of stagnation right now, and that stagnation is kind of making the fan bases and the player bases kind of, you know, apathetic to what's coming out. So you'll have the kind of offshoots where you'll have like an NBA 2K Playgrounds come out with their sequel, which I personally don't think was a good sequel at all. It was actually like a step backwards for that game. And then you have other games that are offshoots that are just random games like Steep that are, you know, really, really niche, but they could be super fun if they got a sequel. Like, I feel like those teams could find something in those games and then, you know, make something out of it. So it feels like, you know, we're taking a kind of audit of everything that's happening right now, and it doesn't feel like things have moved the needle that much. Most of the things now, if you kind of dig into the scuttlebutt about most of the conversations about the games that we play, and especially the sports ones, a lot of it isn't even about the actual games themselves. It's more about the systems that are within those games, you know, microtransactions and how you deal with loot crates and loot boxes. And, you know, what is the, if you want to attach, you know, want to call those things the politics of sports games, those are part of the conversation more than the actual, like, how does this game work? Does this game feel good? Is this game accessible to people who are new to the sport or new to video games, sports games themselves? So there's a lot of work from the teams for the individual games that kind of have to figure out what they're going to do next. But 2019 has some hopefully, you know, cool stuff coming down the pipeline. And there are some games that I want to see, or at least genres of games that I'm hoping will pop up in the next year or so that will be really fun to kind of jump on and jump into.
All right. Well, before we get your specific favorite games, let's talk about that, right? So
yeah,
let's look at it from two different approaches. First of all, get out your crystal ball. What do you think, okay, right? What do you predict is going to happen? Like, what are the two or three things I think that you would say you would feel comfortable predicting are going to happen with sports games from any angle? And then what do you want? Like, if you could wave the magic wand and just make something happen, what would that be like for you?
I feel like most of the companies who have a stake in the sports gaming world will kind of revert back to the KISS method, the keep it simple, stupid method. I'm actually hoping that that's the case, where we see some of the modes maybe be stripped back a little bit. Even though there seems to be this want to kind of do more with every game that you have, it's like, we need to have more modes. We need to put more stuff in these games so that people feel like they're getting their money's worth. Where I feel like at this point, it's kind of diluting the main product that you want to put out into the world. So I'm hoping to see, you know, 2K figure out what they're going to do with their microtransaction stuff and, you know, get that dodgeball nonsense out of here. I don't understand why that's a thing. I love those cats, but it's like, why are you doing these things? Madden kind of trying to figure out, you know, what they're going to do on their end as well. What I want to see happen, what I want is more of these kind of niche, super niche, almost non-sports games, sports games, if that makes sense. Like, I want to, there's a game called Session that's going to be coming out, which this Brazilian team kind of kickstarted their version of Skate. And I feel like that would be a game that would be really cool to see come out when it's supposed to be coming out on Xbox platforms, hopefully next year. I know this is pie in the sky stuff, but I feel like both NBA games have still kind of squandered where they're at. And I feel like there needs to be another fun offshoot that is not Playgrounds, like, a EA Big esque kind of game that brings those people in for that particular sport. One of the things I actually thought about on the way home when I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to be recording this tonight, was I kind of had a thought about that new show that The Rock is doing, the Titan show. Have you heard anything about that?
I mean, I've just seen the commercials during the football games.
Yeah. I want something like that. I want something in that vein that feels like an offshoot of like this American Gladiators kind of, you know, competition thing. It feels like the old Konami track and field stuff, you know, TNC surf and stuff like those kinds of multi-event kind of games where you can come in with multiple disciplines and multiple things and new ideas that bring something kind of different to the sports space. It's something that we haven't seen in a long time. It kind of brings that Mario Party kind of deal into it. The last thing is I would really want, having played the Creed Rise to Glory game, I would really love to see a really fully fleshed out boxing game come back to market. I feel like that would be super fun.
There were three great fights in the last month in the real world. Three. Right. I can't remember three great fights in the last 3 years before this past month. Uh-huh. I, for the first time in a long time, mm-hmm, I was thinking to myself, well, you know, maybe, just maybe, we could get a boxing game going again. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the, you know, the new console launching kind of game, like the Fight Night when the 360 shipped, right, which we, mm-hmm, all lost our minds over. For the first time in a while, I thought that it may be a possibility, because it feels like boxing is coming back a little bit. It feels like there's a couple, two or three fighters where if you say their name, people other than like absolute boxing fans would be like, yeah, I've heard that name. Yep. That's a guy. That's a guy.
Yep.
So I'm with you there. That would be great. I'm not predicting it, but I don't know the details. I don't know if they're public or not. Like the EA's UFC, you know, they got maybe one more that they're thinking, mm-hmm, about, but like there's certainly a lot of, you know, knowing nothing, right? I'm talking like I know what I'm talking about. There's certainly a lot of things they could leverage from UFC to build out a boxing game. You know, I would think, you know. But
you're right, though. I think you're right about that. Like the mechanics and the foundation of that sport are in that game. Like they could totally do it.
So I'm glad to hear you say that, because like I said, I was thinking to myself, because if you'd asked me a year ago, 2 years ago, heck, even 6 months ago, I would have said no chance. And again, to put a boxing game together is super challenging. Super duper, mm-hmm, challenging. You can't just, you know, I use the word just. You can't write a check to the Players Association and the league, right, for however many millions of dollars and then, you know, get everything. You got to call every fighter. You got to call who knows how many people. And boxing is chaotic enough. So a lot of challenges to it. But I would love to see that. No doubt.
Agreed on that.
All right. So you got three favorite games from last year?
Yeah.
Awesome. You want to count them down from 3-1?
3-1.
All right.
Three would be UFC.
Okay.
I think UFC was actually pretty good this past year. I feel like they found the locomotion parts that they weren't able to get in the first game right. It felt like you had more of an ability to, you know, chase your opponent down, and they smartly, very smartly, redid their tutorial system especially around submissions and things like that, because it was not good in the first game. And it was just like, all right, I'm going to spin this stick as much as I possibly can and hopefully tap somebody out. So that was the thing that didn't necessarily feel great, but they figured out ways to get around that. Let's see. The second game was, I actually really, really kind of appreciated the fact that, again, that Creed game came out. Having now played that thing in VR spaces a lot more, I mean, it's a VR game, but it feels like almost there. Like the whole thing about VR spaces now is that they're still trying to figure out, one, getting everything kind of shrunken down into spaces that doesn't feel as heavy in terms of equipment and things like that. And also the space that you need to fully kind of use those things in good ways in your home.
Yes.
Which is difficult. And, you know, I'm working in VR spaces every day now at my job.
Oh, so it's like sweet.
Me being able to see all that stuff happen in real time is cool.
Well, I'm a brand new PSVR owner. Just got it at Christmas. I'm what? A week in.
Oh, nice.
PSVR to VR. It's the only VR I've ever. I mean, I tried Oculus at PAX East like 4 years ago for 5 minutes. But other than that, I've never done VR before getting the PSVR. So my son and I, in fact, my son, before I finally made him go to bed, was playing Job Simulator. Loves Job Simulator.
Nice. But that's awesome.
Terrified to play the Creed game. Terrified because, like,
it's
dude, that looks intense, man. I'm not ready for that.
The funny thing is, I will say this, in terms of a boxing game, it is not the best boxing game that you can buy in a VR space. I don't think there are many. There aren't many yet. They're like kind of simulators of boxing that or they're tacked onto other stuff. But what I will say is Creed will give you a workout. Like, that is the thing that I didn't expect when I put the VR headset on. I came out of that bad boy sweaty. And I was like, what is happening right now? Like, my arms hurt.
Right. That's the thing. Like, I play video games on the treadmill. That's what I do. Right. I go 3 miles in 46 minutes, 5-6 times a week, whenever possible, and play NBA 2K and FIFA. Like, that's my thing. But putting that helmet on and then sweating again and working out, like, that helmet costs a lot of money. I don't want to be getting it all sweaty. And I don't want other people to be getting sweaty in my VR helmet. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's got me a little freaked out. I'm not sure I'm going to check out Creed, at least anytime soon.
Yeah, I would say if you do, just make sure that you have a lot of alcohol swabs or something. it's the price of VR right now. The price of VR is sweat.
I hear you, man.
And my number one game, to be honest, was Laser League. I love that game.
Nice.
I love that game. I feel like it did something really smart. It mashed up two things that I love. It mashed up almost dodgeball and Tron in some weird way. And it provided a competition, a way to compete that I didn't expect. Like, that 3-on-3 style is really smart, and you can be all these different kinds of players and different kinds of modes, and you have a different role, and learning those roles is really important to your team. So it builds out that, like, ability to be very specialized in a thing, but also gives you the space to kind of learn how to, you know, interact with your team and kind of out strategize the other folks on the other side to be able to kind of win and get things done. I love that game. It's a shame that it's not getting as much love as it should and it deserves. But it came out at a really great time, and I feel like people hopefully will be able to kind of come back to it and give it some love, because it totally deserves it. And I feel like that's definitely a thing that people should check out at some point, is check out Laser League, because it's so good. It's super, super good.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. Right? Brian has been on the Laser League train for a while, but it's good to hear somebody else, because I've tried it. I've dabbled in it. But I'm telling you, man, if there's an old school, right, if you're looking and you see an old school, next to that old school is the even older school. I am so stuck in that old school. I'm playing NBA 2K, my GM, and FIFA Career Just that's mm-hmm. what I do. Just every night. I keep my career going as Everton and FIFA. I'm in my second season. I'm trying to get to the Champions League. I'm trying to win the Premier League. It's hard, but I'm close. But as soon as I think I got it, then I lose to Bournemouth 3-1 at home for no reason whatsoever. Sorry, I got to calm myself down. Like, I'm just, I dabble in these other cool games like you're talking about, and then I just keep being like, yeah, but I just, if I keep playing FIFA and NBA 2K with my Celtics, and I, by the way, I don't even like the Celtics in the real world. I hate the Celtics, but they're so much fun as a video game team. I'm like dunking and shooting threes and dishing mm-hmm. the ball. Like, I can't get out of my happy little rut to play these other games. It's a problem.
That's the thing, though. It's not a problem. That's a good thing. I mean, it means that you have your space. You have the thing that makes you happy. And in this world, that's not a bad thing to find something that makes you happy. And you have figured out that, like, hey, this is the thing that I like to rock with in this point. It's not like you're out just like I don't want to play any of this other stuff. You're checking that stuff out.
Yes.
But yeah, you have your mainstays. Your mainstays are good. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Any honorable mentions, like something that almost made the list, but just didn't for whatever reason?
This is a kind of weird out of nowhere game, and it's a remaster of an old game, but Windjammers that came out on the Switch.
Yes.
I love that game. Yes. Like it,
that's a great and
it's
game.
Interesting. It's interesting too, because the game Disc Jam, which I thought kind of, you know, it didn't die in the water, had some issues on the online side of things when it first dropped. I adore that game. That is one of my favorite games. Like, I was hoping that game was going to just blow up and be into like esports ranges of people playing it. It unfortunately didn't, but it feels like they have continued to put out good content for that game, even with the player base that they already have. And it kind of makes me want another Rockstar table tennis game at some point. I want that. I want that game to get love, because that game is super underrated and people forgot about that game, and it's fantastic. So
it's funny. My son loves video games, as almost every 11-year-old in the world does. But not only does he love modern games, he loves retro games. And I got a whole bunch of old stuff. Got a GameCube mm-hmm. laying around here. Got the Wii. We were playing table tennis on Wii Sports Resort like an hour mm-hmm. last weekend. You know, mm-hmm. table yeah. tennis in video games is fun. You're yeah. so right about that. It's just yeah. fun.
Yeah, it's super good.
And less frustrating than real-world table tennis, where I'm terrible. Just awful.
I'm so bad at it,
too. Oh, my gosh. I cannot hit the ball where I want to hit it at all.
Oh, really quick. Really yeah. quick. One other thing that folks should definitely check out. Definitely check out Pool Panic as well. It skirts the line, because I still don't know if billiards is a sport. I don't know if it's necessarily
for
a sport.
Our purposes,
I don't
think of it's in for our
it's
purposes.
In.
Yep.
Okay. Then check out Pool Panic. Pool Panic is super fun. It takes all these it takes your usual kind of billiard balls and gives them personalities. So you'll have a red ball. I don't know what number. I think it's a three. And that number three ball will just be, you know, petrified anytime the cue ball comes near it. So you have to basically chase down the ball to go shoot it into a pocket. And it's really fun. It's nice. Smartly done. They did these like really cool tables and stuff like that aren't actual tables. It's like you're shooting, you know, pool balls into holes in a park. And it's just really smartly done. It's really fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Khalif Adams, how can people follow you, everything you guys are doing at Spawn On Me? You know, how can people see and hear and listen to everything that you guys got going on?
You can check out the Spawn On Me podcast every Tuesday. We drop a new episode. You can find it on all your podcasting platforms. We're on NPR One, iTunes. We're on Stitcher, all the places you can find those. We are also hopefully going to be coming back soon to Twitch sometime this month. You can do that at twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe. You can also hit us up on Twitter at Spawn On Me there. My personal account is at Kajakins. That's KAHJAHKINS. And if you like the stuff that we do, like, definitely check us out over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/SpawnOnMe, where we do a after show. That is a little bit of gaming stuff, but mostly it's just stuff about our lives and us being human beings in the world. And that's pretty much it. That's most of the places you can find us. You always have Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff too. So you can definitely check out our stuff there as well.
Love it. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time very much. I look forward to having you back on later this year to talk about whatever we want to talk about. What do you say?
Absolutely. I'm always down to rock with you and the rest of the crew. So anytime you want me, I'm here.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir. And thank you, everyone, for listening.